ever feel like God isn't blessing your life? Today we're exploring the riches of God's blessing. It's amazing to realize that even while in prison, Paul starts with praise. How would your prayers and life change if you began focusing on the riches of God's blessing? Welcome to the 7-day reset through the book of Ephesians. We're on day two. I'm Pastor Chad with my friend Kim Weir, the author of Everyday God, and we're going to be walking through Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 23. And we've been doing this through the context of the word RAMP, that's R-A-M-P, and that stands for read. What did I just read in the scripture? A is apply. How does this apply to God and to me? M is for meditate. Take some time to ask yourself how I can change and really think over the text and not just read and jump into the everyday life. And then P, pray. Start a discussion with God about how this scripture can apply to your life. And so, Kim, welcome. You ready to jump into the rest of Ephesians chapter 1?
Yeah, I'm so glad to be here. I love digging into God's word. I'm not going to lie. When you're thinking about working your way through, I always love going through a narrative book where you get a story. And we're going through Ephesians, and it's a letter that Paul wrote. And instead, you get exhortation, right? You get, hey, here's what I want to tell you. And a lot of encouragement. There's a lot of encouragement. And so I just have to remember what I'm reading and put it in my brain. What if I got this in my mailbox? That's what I like to think of when I read one of his letters. What if I just went to my mailbox and I opened it up and, oh my gosh, Paul wrote me a letter. Yeah. That's the way we look at this. What did Paul have to say? Remembering that Paul's in prison, life's hard for him. I really want to hear what he has to say because he's not wasting his time. He doesn't have time to waste. That can kind of help us think about this in a more concrete way. So I'm ready to read my letter from Paul.
Let's do it. Well, when we jump in, we started in the first two verses, which were kind of Paul's introduction to the letter. But then we jump into verse 3. I'm going to use a very technical term. I've studied this many times, so I'm just telling you. This section is actually called a barakah. The word means, it means praise. And you start with that at the very first words. In fact, if you're reading other versions, and I have this memorized from other versions, it starts out with blessed be in other versions. The preferred version we're reading here today is the New Living Translation, and it says all praise. It's the word blessing or praise. And Paul is starting his letter to this church by pointing out who God is and what he does for us. And so you cannot start in a more positive way than a barakah or a little hymn of praise is basically what we have right here.
Yeah, which again, remember, this is coming from a guy who's in prison, who's locked up under house arrest, can't go. And what does he say? He doesn't start out with, woe is me, life is hard. You know, if you've ever asked somebody, how you doing? And your first thing is like, not so good. We want to be transparent, but my goodness, praise be to God. It doesn't matter what my circumstances are. He is worthy of praise. Ah, that's convicting, right?
Doesn't it just remind you too of when Job says the Lord gives and takes away, but blessed be his name. And blessed Job is in the middle of a very difficult time when he says that. And yet the same with Paul. He's in prison and he's saying, starting his letter with blessed be, or all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He then goes on to talk about the Father and what the Father has done for him and for us. And he just, so this is what I did. I just started listing these out. Whether you've read Ephesians right now for the first time or maybe the 100th time, like Kim or I have read it through, there's always something to learn. I'm going to tell everybody kind of what I do. I printed this out because I know I have notes in my Bible that I've already written, but I wanted to see it through fresh eyes. Like I've never read this before, like you're saying, this letter. And as I did, I wrote all this. I wrote God the Father. And then underneath, I just wrote these words. He blessed us. He made the world. He loved and chose us. He adopted us. He purchased our freedom. He forgave our sins. He showered us with his kindness, wisdom, understanding. He revealed the mysteries concerning Christ. And I'm like, we're saying this is a praise to God. Now let's just say all the reasons why we're praising God right now.
Yeah. I'm reading in a version that says that he blessed us. And so depending on the translation, we love New Living Translation. I also am looking at NIV. But one of the first things that stuck to me, again, when you're reading through, It's so great to have a printed copy, or if you don't mind writing in your Bible, circle words, circle phrases, yeah. Look for repeated things, because that's emphasis. You know, if I'm telling you a story and I keep saying the same thing over and over again, you're going to get the idea that must be important to her. So yeah. Anyway, one of the first things that, as I'm reading this, that stood out to me was this idea of the location. So he blessed us. How many times do you hear somebody say, oh, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. How are things going? Or, you know, the new car came through. Oh, I'm blessed. Or they got the house or whatever, the job. We use the context of that means I'm blessed. But I love that Paul is reorienting me here in the letter that he's writing. He says he has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. So, Kim, if you're thinking, hey, what blessing am I going to look for today? Or Lord, I really need this or need that. I'm going to count it a blessing. He's saying, look, you need to relocate. He has blessed us in the heavenly realm. You need to start thinking through the spiritual realm. Take your mind out of this earthly realm that you live in all the time, because there's a whole bunch of things that you don't see readily and you're going to miss if you don't realize that they're located in the spiritual heavenly realm.
Yeah.
And he calls them spiritual blessings. And how often when I say, what is it? Count your blessings one by one, right? How often am I counting my spiritual blessings versus my health? I got my family, got my, you know, don't have a debt right now, yada, yada. Oh my goodness. This whole letter, I'll just give you a quick preview. The first three chapters, it is nothing but Paul telling us in the letter he wrote us blessing after blessing after blessing. You are rich with blessings, Kim. You are rich with blessings, Chad. Fill in the blank. And Paul says, I'm going to outline them all. And he does it for half the letter before he turns and says, okay, now what responsibility do you have since you have all these riches? Yeah. So riches, responsibilities. So anyway, I think one of the first things that I noticed about this is that we are told to move ourselves into the heavenly realm.
Yeah.
To think about all the things he's going to talk about, or we're not going to understand what he's saying.
And he comes back to that thought at the end of chapter one as well. So if you kind of, if you want to pause there for a minute and then you go to the end, he's going to say how he's able to do that, because Christ is seated on the throne in the heavenlies and he is ruling and reigning, and not ruling and reigning heaven. He's ruling and reigning over everything, even the evil powers. Christ has his rule over even that. And it just shows his great power. And you're going to pick up through that, through the rest of the letter. There is a reason why you can fulfill and live out this letter, because Christ is ruling and reigning. I think secondly there too, one thing that he connects in chapter one, verse three, he says that we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ. Kim, you talked about this in our last episode. He'll say either in Christ or with Christ, or here he says united with Christ. There's actually a theological doctrine that you could take a whole long trail if you want to go down this. It's called union with Christ. And there's a whole doctrine around just this theme, but you find it spelled out in this chapter so many times where he's going to say in Christ, with Christ, united with Christ, all those sort of things to remind you that our power isn't in and of ourselves, but it is only because of the work of Jesus.
Yeah. Think so often about the parallels between being a parent and home life and the scriptures, right? The things that we can go, yeah, it's kind of like that. You know, that the kids in my family, the ones born to me by the will of my husband and I, right? Ultimately the will of God. You know, these are in my family. They are in us in a different way. And because they are, come all these rights and privileges, come all these riches, you know, that aren't tangible, as far as I'm not going to give them a bank account, but there's my love and the wisdom that we give them and that acceptance. And I could go on and on. And why do they have it? They have it because they're in our family. Somebody else might walk in the door, but that doesn't make them in my family. And so I just think about all of these things that Paul lists out, and they are only mine because I'm in Christ by the will of God. There's only one way to get them. And I kind of made a list out of some of the different verses. If you've had a chance to look through this, if you haven't, I'll encourage you as you go through these scriptures to do that. Just start pulling out. We're told that we are chosen, that we are, that's one of our riches. We have been chosen, that we've been adopted. We have his glorious grace. One of the riches that we have is redemption through his blood. We have the riches of forgiveness of sin. One of the heavenly riches, which you can't access. You can't just come up with it here on earth. Its source is heaven in Christ, the knowledge of his will, and being sealed with the Holy Spirit. That's just a partial list of some of the riches of heaven that Paul's like, hey, do you know you have these? Are you aware of these? Let me list them out for you. And I'm like, no, I was just hoping I could get a close up parking place at Walmart today. Yeah. That'd be such a blessing, Lord. You know, like you were giving up the much for the little. Anyway, I love that list.
When you see it spelled out too, so many are seeking to be known by someone in this world, not just known, but then become famous and to live out of that. And yet this talks about riches that no person in this world could ever offer you. To be adopted by Christ, to be connected and blood bought, to be all the things you said in that connection with someone even bigger than Taylor Swift.
Is there someone Jesus bigger Christ. Than Taylor Swift?
Yeah, right.
I keep hearing her name.
Jesus Christ. And
yeah,
so
there you go.
The power of that. And you see that I am more than famous. I am connected to Christ. Just to continue to move us along, we could go on and on. I could spend the next 3 hours talking about chapter one if we took each and every one of those things. But you move through this beginning section, this blessing section that he talks about God and what he's done. And then he moves into another section of then praying over this church. And you start picking up the elements that he's already talked about. But starting in verse 15, he says, ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people everywhere, I have not stopped thanking God for you. And then he goes on to say how he prays for them. But in that verse 15, it's so packed of their strong faith that we read about in verses 1 and 2. It takes us back to how the church started in Acts chapter 19 that we got in day one. It also says there's strong love of people. So when Jesus rebukes them a little bit in Revelation chapter 2, it's not rebuking them for something they never had. No, they had a strong love for the people. And Paul's pointing that out to us here in verse 15. But then he goes on and he says, I want to pray for you. I pray for you constantly. And he prays for these three things, that God would give them spiritual wisdom and insight to grow in the knowledge of God. Let's just camp on that one real quickly. The first thing he's starting to pray for, he's not praying they'd be wealthy. He's not praying they would be safe. He's praying that you will have spiritual wisdom and insight to grow in your knowledge of God.
I love that. His highest desire for them is that they would know God better.
Yeah.
And out of that flows everything else. The more you know of God, the bigger he is in your sight because he's big. Everything else flows out of that. I'm like, do I pray like that for other people? Or am I so busy praying that their nearest and dearest problems get fixed? You know, am I really praying, even if I do need want to pray for their health, am I really praying, Lord, is my greatest desire for them your desire that they would know you better?
Yeah.
And how can I pray that as Paul did in every circumstance for the people that he would know you better, know the hope that you've been called to? I don't need you to hope in your finances or hope in your health, but God, let them know the hope that you called them to. Let them know the riches of the inheritance that waits for them. Let them know your incomparable power that you are giving for us. Those are all the things that Paul prayed for. And I love knowing that Jesus, he's representing Christ. We know that he is speaking through the power of the Spirit here. So I feel confident that these are the very things that Jesus intercedes for us before his Father as well. And so that is so comforting to me. But what a model for me and how I might pray for other people.
I love what you just did there, Kim, because we're working through the word RAMP for read, apply, meditate, and pray. And you actually, in your reading, it causes you naturally to do the very thing we're asking people to do. You begin to apply it. And as you're applying it, you begin to meditate and ask, you're giving yourself already the questions.
I'm ramped up. I'm done.
You're ramped up. We're already meditating on this text of, am I praying like Paul prayed? Or how should I be praying for people differently? And then that hopefully leads us into the last letter, which is P, to pray that we start actually living this out. Paul's prayer that he prays constantly that God would give us some spiritual wisdom and insight to grow in our knowledge of God. Number two that I see there is that their hearts would be flooded and understand their confident hope. And let me just encourage you, when you read the word hope sometimes in scripture, it's easy to say that we hope something will happen. We're anticipating something happen. But this is the biblical word for hope is actually translated in assurance, that they would have a confident assurance that God's plan will happen in the end. And what that means is, we believe that the Lord Jesus will come back. He will return in a second coming, and he will establish his new kingdom, his new heavens, his new earth in a physical way. He will resurrect people from the dead. That's what we believe in. And Paul is praying that their hearts would be full of that assurance, that no matter if another riot happens like it did in Acts chapter 19 because of Demetrius, they could stand firm and know that even if they died in a riot, God wins in the end.
It could happen here in America. We have those too. If you're listening to this before you go through Ephesians, here's the beauty of it. You may have, or you may yet read this and go, oh my gosh, whatever. This is what I really want to camp on. Because this is what we do. We never read the word of God alone. It's not possible to read and understand the word of God alone. In Christ, we have Christ in us through his spirit. His spirit opens our eyes and brings understanding. We cannot understand spiritual things without the spirit of God. And he may stir your heart. He may cause words to feel like they're leaping off the page in a completely different way.
Yeah.
That's what I love about going through this. We're kind of just sharing with each other. There's not a right or wrong answer. There is I want to be reading this with the Spirit. I want to learn more about God. I want to know how to shape my life so that I'm growing more in Christ. So I love that we have a comment section as well. If you go through the 7-day reset with us on World's Biggest Small Group, where we have it listed out, not just the podcast. And you can leave your comments to show us, hey, here are some things that stood out to me. We'd love for you to be part of that comment community as well.
It's so fun to do scripture study in community.
Yes.
Kim and I didn't compare notes. In fact, I'm in Nashville, Tennessee right now, and she's in Texas. We're not even in the same place, but we didn't compare notes, but we are reading the same thing. And it's so great just to bounce ideas off of each other because we both perceive different things from the text, and there are different things that have encouraged me. And I could tell you, this is probably maybe my 100th time reading through the book of Ephesians, and I got something totally different this time that I read through it than the last time I read through it. And that's even me, the same person, but life changes, circumstances change. And every time the word of God comes back different. And you know why? It's because we believe God's word is alive and living and it's powerful. And that's what Paul says. Even as he comes to the last thing he prays for the church for, he says, I pray that you would understand God's power for us. He wants to see God's power lived out in them. That same power, he says, that raised Christ from the dead. It's the same power that seated Christ in the seat of honor at his right hand above all principalities and powers, over the demons, over the rulers of this world, not just political rulers, but all rulers of this world. Jesus sits on the throne of God supreme. He sits in a place of authority, and he does it, though, as you look, as you get to the end of Ephesians chapter 1, it says, and he does it for the church, for the benefit of the church, where he fills the church, he is the church, and the church is his body. It's made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself.
Beautiful. As you go through this, one more thing that you might notice that was encouraging to me is how Paul positions all of these beautiful things. Why does God do what he does? It's not because I'm so wonderful or Chad, you're so wonderful. Mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, he chose us when we were enemies, you know?
Yeah.
And so why does he do all this? Is it because I'm great and fabulous or he wants me? No, if you look over and over again, there's several scriptures, you'll notice that he does all of these things to the praise of his own glorious grace. Over and over again, we're told he is doing these things to bring himself praise, to display his own greatness in the world, to display his holiness, and to use us to do that. Boy, that might make you go, well, one of two things. Either, wait, I don't feel very important, or I'm so important that I've been trusted to receive the riches of heaven so that I might help display the glory of the King of the universe on earth. That's pretty amazing.
So Kim, as we go through, read, apply, meditate, and pray, is there, you've given me some of your meditate and pray already through some of those sections, but is there one big one you would walk away saying, this is what I really would take some time to ask God or to think on as you meditate?
Yeah. There were so many, and which is the danger, because then you can feel overwhelmed. And so it is mm-hmm. great. I love this rant because it says, look, narrow it down. Come back another day, but narrow it down and talk with God about one thing. And I think for me, it is to be reminded that all of these blessings and spiritual riches I could easily miss when I keep my heart and mind earthbound. If I do not remember that I am a spiritual being with the Spirit of Christ living in me, and that because of that, I can actually access spiritual riches in the heavenlies. If I don't actually intentionally turn my mind, Paul goes to a great deal of trouble to say, look, these are heavenly riches. These are spiritual blessings. This is in another realm. And I get, it's very easy to get caught up in the grind of life. Oh, and good stuff, family stuff even. But for me, my apply is, Lord, help me turn my eyes toward the spiritual realm, where all of the access of all of the riches are mine in abundance, and that accessing them helps me bring you glory on earth. So that's the one I think that I most want to, because I think I do get very caught up. What about you?
I travel, and when I travel, I'm always amazed that when I step into an airport, the reminder at the airport, I see all these people and they look so different. And sometimes they're speaking other languages, and it just reminds me of how big God's world is and how insignificant I am sometimes, if I'm honest. Like, it's so easy to become myopic and just see our world and where we live, and that's everything. But God's world's so much bigger when I look at other people. But then when I jump into this text here this morning, it also reminds me that it's not confined to just the humans who walk around on this world. God is ruling and reigning over a spiritual sphere that is even bigger than just humans on an earth. It's bigger and grander, and that's how big and powerful he is. And so in light of that, it has caused me to step back, not just, you know, a few feet, but to go much deeper and ask the Lord, God, you are doing something bigger and more powerful than I will ever imagine, not only in this earth, but throughout your entire creation, throughout all things, evil and good, and you have rule over that. What is my life significance in light of that big thing? Number one. And number two, praise be to God that he even knows and accepts me, because I'm so inconsequential compared to all the rest of those creations. The meditation's there just to put myself in my place and not think I'm the most important thing. Or maybe as my teenagers like to say all the time, you're not the main character. Jesus is the main character. He's the hero of the story. And Paul sure does let us know that in chapter one, seeing him sitting on the throne, ruling, reigning with so much power.
Amen.
And then when we come to the last part of just prayer, that we would take this to the Lord in prayer. God, I'm so humbled by your massive creation and all the ways you connected to that creation as we read through these verses, by adopting and loving and purchasing and forgiving and showering me with blessings and kindness and all the things you are. All spiritual blessings in the heavenly places come from you. God, help me live this, and you fill in the blank. Live it out. Live it out today. Let me encourage you. This is our second day of our 7-day reset in the book of Ephesians. Tomorrow, we're going to jump into Ephesians chapter 2 and tackle that through the same lens of RAMP, to read, apply, meditate, and pray. Let me encourage you, go to the notes, leave your comments of what God's doing in your life, but just take time to pray and make this significant for yourself. Thank you, and God bless.
We hope this has been a transformative journey. Don't miss out on more opportunities like this to rekindle your faith and find inspiration in the world's biggest small group's latest study. Text the word GROW, G-R-O-W, to 67101 to find out more.